That's the biggest difference we see. It's literally the community speaking to the community. We're spreading this word organically, and that's where the power is. I mean, we're essentially showing the city that the people want to have a say in this project, and that's essentially what's happening.
So, you know, through your organizing and the organizing of others, this has really sort of become an issue that people are talking about in the community. And it sounds like Burnaby Council is now listening, because they're going to be having a special meeting to actually reconsider the whole project.
Absolutely. So, you know, this decision, in my opinion, will lay the foundation for our Burnaby mayor's legacy, as well as the council members. You know, do they really want to be known as the leaders of a community that destroyed dedicated parkland, which belongs to the residents? The project itself is an absolute travesty. There's no power for change greater than a community discovering what it cares about. So, you know, first of all, I have to applaud the mayor Hurley for changing his mind on this project. He, I believe, mentioned 2 days ago that he was thinking about nixing this project. However, the fight's not over. This is just the first step. The council will be voting on this later today. March 20th. And again, we are not against green sustainable initiatives from the city. We are all for it, but the location of this project is just not the right location. And, you know, even moving in the forward in the future, neither is destroying any other dedicated parkland. So perhaps the city requires more foresight when it comes to these type of developments in the future. You know, moving forward, I would like to see the city provide more transparency as well as due diligence.
Yeah, so I mean, if we don't know exactly what council is going to be proposing or voting on at this meeting, which is happening in just a few hours. But how does it feel to, you know, you started this campaign and the AAP process goes through to the end of April. Mm-hmm. You were getting ready for a bit of a long distance run, and very quickly, you know, through your efforts and others, you've really galvanized the community. And it seems like they're going to, like I said, we don't know exactly what they're going to do, but based on the mayor's comments so far, it sounds like they're really either going to pause the whole project or do a radical rethink. And perhaps relocate this facility. Yeah. How does it feel to have had that kind of impact?
No, it feels great. And again, you know, I'm just a regular guy who cares for this park, and I just want to thank the community for coming together. That's the biggest part. That's what I want to pinpoint, because it's not one person that can make a change. You know, it goes to show that if you do this alone, you can do so little, but together we can achieve so much together as a community. So, again, it feels great to be able to shift the way the council might think, and as well as the mayor, absolutely. So later today, I really hope that the council will make a decision, the right decision, to pause this project and rethink their entire methods when it comes to developing over dedicated parkland.
Great. Thank you for coming in today. I think it's really always amazing to see someone from the community just sort of step up around an issue that they care about and be able to make a difference and provide leadership to so many others who are looking for some movement around that issue.
Absolutely. I mean, what we're doing is we're doing this for our future generation. Like I said, it's you know, without balance with nature, we're not going to be able to move forward as a civilization. So it's small decisions such as these that make a huge difference in the future. So, again, I would like to thank you for having me.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Burnaby Council will be voting on this issue in just a few hours, which looks like a real rethink in response to opposition from the community. Thanks so much, Josh Wong, for coming in today. Very quickly, like I said, we don't know exactly what the council is going to do. So, you know, the issue may not be over yet. How do people reach out to you or get involved with your effort?
Absolutely. So they can visit the website, which is SaveFraserForeshorePark.com. That's a website that we had built to engage the public. You can access the AAP forms there as well. Whether or not you're a Burnaby resident or a non-Burnaby resident, you're able to cast your vote. So I highly urge anybody listening to, you know, take that initiative, take that step. If you're looking for volunteering opportunities, you can reach me at hello@joshwongrealtor.com. We're looking for, of course, all the help we can get to either pass out ballots and just spread awareness. That's what it comes down to.
Great. Josh Wong, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Josh Wong will be at the Burnaby Council meeting coming up in about an hour and a half at Burnaby City Hall, where they're going to... Burnaby Council will be reconsidering this project with two motions on the agenda. One, to reconsider the alternative approval process. That's the process through which the somewhat convoluted process through which Burnaby residents and others can could voice their opposition to the project. and then they're also going to be council will be reconsidering a motion from February 27th that formally set this project in motion, and that's all coming up at noon today. So we'll see what happens. Thanks to Josh for joining me today, and as always, it's always great to see, you know, the community finding a voice and making the powers that be stop and take a listen into what they're doing and not just plow forward with plans as they're set. So we'll see what's happening in about an hour or so. All right, here is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. We often hear it said that spring bursts forth as if winter's leafless trees suddenly shimmer with green. Flowers pop. Birds start singing with all their hearts. But this seasonal change isn't instantaneous. It's a series of waves, slowly breaking waves that sweep up from the south to the north, right over the continent. Early spring migrants like robins and bluebirds return north in March, some even in February. Across the whole of April, week after week, new songbird migrants work north from the tropics, adding bit by bit to spring's ever-growing soundtrack. By May, birds continue flooding into northerly states in Canada. And even as late as June, birds like willow flycatchers and morning warblers are just completing the trek to northern breeding sites from South America. By this time, those early robins may already be hard at work feeding their second brood. For them, spring has been bursting for over 3 months. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
And then Does the Pacific forget in the evening rain? 'Cause if I reach the Cascades, it'll all fade away into the mountain range. And by nightfall I will see our home on the hill and lie by you still. When I reach the range, I fade away. I'll be born again. Man from Cascade. When
Bedouin Sound Clash. That's from their album We Will Meet in a Hurricane, and the track was Man from Cascades. You're listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Next up we have, as part of our participation in the Rendezvous de la Francophonie, Rendezvous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration of the French language internationally, and also celebrates the international organization that brings together the many countries where French has a prominent place, 57 countries in all. As part of that, the National Campus Community Radio Association has done put together a series of interviews with bilingual Canadians about their experiences being French speaking, you know, growing up and living in French and English as a bilingual person. This is a series of interviews conducted by Catherine Fisher from Nelson, BC. And let's give this a listen. Rendezvous de la Francophonie.
25 years of Rendezvous de la Francophonie. It's time to celebrate. Welcome to the Franco Podcast. Hello, my name is Catherine Fisher, and I had the pleasure of interviewing six bilingual Canadians for this podcast. In this episode, I speak to Mariette Muller, Strategic Advisor to the World Trade Centers Association and Bank of Canada Director.
Good morning, Mariette. So great to speak with you today.
Well, thank you, Catherine. Nice to meet you through the phone.
You grew up in Saint-Pierre-Joli, a Manitoba community with a strong Francophone history. What languages did you speak at home as a child?
We only spoke French at home. We would never speak English, but we learned that in school, so it was not a problem to learn it.
Was there some English out in the community as well?
Oh yeah, there was, but most of the non-Francophones were immigrants who quickly learned English and French. And so it was more natural to just learn the two languages if you were in Saint-Pierre during my day. Now this has changed evidently, but when I grew up, it was the immigrants. It was mostly from Germany, Ukraine, Poland, and they would just learn both languages. So they had the additional challenge of having to learn two languages when they got here.
Were your parents fluent speakers of both English and French?
Yes, I'd say my father more because he went to the University of Manitoba, while my mom grew up in La Brexie, which is even more French community. So her English was, she always felt as if she wasn't as fluent, but she was. I mean, like we always say in Manitoba, you don't have to worry, you catch English, like you're catching a cold, you catch English. You don't have to worry about having to protect the English language in Manitoba, you have to concentrate on protecting other languages.
Absolutely. You are a grand champion of bilingualism. How has your concept of being bilingual changed over time?
Well, when I was a child, I didn't really realize that this was the best gift that I had. You know, I grew up in a great family. That's a gift. Grew up with beautiful brothers and sisters. That's a gift. But being attached to a particular kind of culture, background, you know, a language that was not the majority spoken. I didn't really realize that when I was a child. We went to school and everything in the school was in English because we didn't have the French school when I grew up. We had, as you know, the language was abolished. The right to teaching French in Manitoba was abolished in 1890 and never got back until, well, I guess my little brother in 1972, he was born, and that's when they started to accept having French taught in the school, and then eventually French schools, and then eventually our own French school division. And this just happened in 1994, but 1994 is when we had control of our French school division. So it's pretty recent when you look at it, Catherine. And so for me, the gift of bilingualism was throughout my life, throughout my professional life, throughout my tourism life, throughout my friendship life. Having the brain able to connect with both sides is a gift. And I'm a big champion of bilingualism, and I'm a big champ of multi-languages. And when people come here, it's not just about French and English for me. It's about keep your mother tongue, like keep that going, because you're opening your child up to a totally different kind of way of thinking, expose them to different ways of life. You're giving them a gift. So I'm a convinced person on bilingualism or multilingualism.
I'm very interested how you became involved in economic development.
Yeah, that was, well, first of all, I come from a family of business. So my dad was in business, my grandfather, my uncle, then of many of my brothers and sisters and cousins also. So it's business has always been important as an economic driver, as something that can also keep the Francophone community strong if you have strong businesses. And I started with the department, which was then called Western Economic Diversification in the federal government, which is now Prairies Can, but it was about developing the West and ensuring that the West had its own kind of economic development plan. So it's a federal department, and I started working there, and I got approached by the Francophone community about this program called CEDEM, which was the Economic Development Council for Bilingual Municipalities. And I was approached, and I finally did leave the federal government to go work there and be its first executive director. So the program was all about the benefits of bilingualism as an economic driver, as a value added. And it was based on, and in those days, you'll laugh, but in those days it was based on New Brunswick, who was attracting call centers to New Brunswick. Why? Because they had a bilingual population, and they were bragging about that and showing it off as a value and just talking about its value. And us Franco-Manitobans were like, wow, they have a bright over there in New Brunswick. So we kind of started copying their way of expressing what bilingualism can bring as an economic driver anywhere in Canada, anywhere. So that's how it kind of started. And I really saw the benefits of that as I moved forward my career and working with investment attraction and FDI, and how the French factor was obvious in many of the businesses we were able to attract from France, from Quebec, because they had a resource that was able to speak to them in French, because they could also have a talent pool that was both French and English. And we never kind of promoted that. So I became very involved in that whole aspect and rapidly saw the benefits. But I had benefited from that chapter my whole life without really knowing that I had benefited from bilingualism as an economic strength for my profession and for, you know, around the world. So how I got involved.
And in your leadership positions, you have been able to open up further doors, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, for example, the whole investment attraction, Catherine, was about using our bilingualism and going into markets that our provincial government wasn't necessarily going into very much, like France, like Quebec, and saying, hey, there's Quebec, but there's also Manitoba, there's Saint-Boniface, there's the rest of Canada. Like, you look around all Western Canada, Ontario, the Maritimes, there's Francophones everywhere, and there's strong Francophones. And we could use this kind of strength to attract businesses from other markets outside of Canada, not just to Quebec, but also to other parts of Canada. Why not? And we know we are not the same thing as Quebec, far from it, but we are different. Some of the businesses were not interested in Eastern Canada. They were interested in Western Canada, but they were worried about having the French service there or being understood and being able to have a talent pool of bilingual people or Francophones that would understand. And we were able to offer that. So we're just an alternative to Quebec. We're not the same thing. We know that Quebec has strong links with France, as they should. And they, with their strong links, are making it more achievable for us to be considered as an option when a French company is looking to expand into Canada. So why not Manitoba? Why not Ontario? Why not, you know, Alberta? Because there are other places where they can function in French if they find the right people to accompany them to their development.
You've said that governments must think in terms of investments, not in terms of costs. Why is this reframing important, in your opinion?
Well, I'm so tired of, bilingual, it costs money, I'm really tired of hearing that for the last, since I'm born. So I really, really think that I have seen, and so many people, we have been able to prove that Canada having a bilingual policy, having a bilingual image, having a bilingual brand is a plus. That makes us different from the United States when you're looking at North America. That makes us more rich. It makes us use our links, our connections in the markets that we represent. Multiculturalism is doing the same thing, Catherine, where we've seen people from different backgrounds and different countries come to Manitoba. And because of their relationship with their country, from where they were born, their mother tongue and their country of origin, they were able to facilitate trade. They were able to facilitate tourism attractions, like people coming here because they have those connections. So when you talk about investing in bilingualism, I think it's the minimum that we should be doing, because it started like that in French and English. Yes, but it's absolutely also the Aboriginal languages that we should be looking at. But it's important that we at least, it's only two languages to begin with. Can we just start with that and see how it's not a cost? It's an investment, and it positions us to be able to attract and be innovative in our economic development right here in Canada.
I want to ask you about the Rendezvous de la Francophonie.
Yes.
So 2023 is the RVF's 25th anniversary. You were a spokesperson in both 2017 and 2018. What do you remember about this time, and what does the RVF mean to you?
Well, the Rendezvous de la Francophonie, the RVF, represents for me bringing together people. It's a mobilizing people to celebrate that we do have something to offer to the whole country and to the world, actually. And in 2017, I was with Emmanuel Bilodeau, who is funny, who is a fun light. And there was actually a connection with him in Saint-Boniface now. I live in Saint-Boniface now in Manitoba, Winnipeg, which is the French Quarter of Winnipeg. And he actually had a relationship with that. So that was cool. And then in 2018, I was with Eddie King, who made me laugh so much, and on and off the stage. But when I discovered him on stage, I thought, oh my God, that guy's got it. And he was a lot of fun. Both those two connections were great for me. But also what the dialogue was doing. It was about dialoguing without putting it in a lighter way, not in a you must speak French, you must be bilingual. Very much of a celebration of what we can, what who we are, and what we can become. And there was a lot of emphasis on the youth. And that didn't exist when I was in school. And I was thinking, boy, I wish I would have had that, because it's very much of a way to mobilize all the good stuff that people speak about when they talk about Francophonie, when they talk about bilingualism, and how we can all work together. We just have to respect each other and understand that, you know, we've got something good here. Let's keep it going. So I really enjoyed my time with Rendez-vous de Francophonie.
Well, that seems like a beautiful place to end this interview. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Catherine.
Thanks for tuning into the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie's Franco podcast. In this episode, you heard from Mariette Muller, Strategic Advisor to the World Trade Centers Association and Bank of Canada Director.
And thank you to Catherine Fisher for that the Franco podcast and Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. We're nearing the end of our show for today. Been a good episode of Speak Up. If you're looking for something to do in coming up in a couple of weeks, is the Tree Talks and Walk, an event happening at the UBC Lower Mall as part of the Vancouver Cherry Blossom Festival. And it's a great event. You'll be led by arborist and expert David Justice on a nice walk of the many beautiful trees out at SF, or not at SFU, out at the UBC campus. It's also a wonderful opportunity to get out and meet some people. They're very casual walks, and there'll be a lot of other people there and chances to chat. The Tree Tree and Walk is taking place on April 2nd at the UBC Lower Mall. Registration is mandatory to participate, and you can do that at the Vancouver Cherry Blossom Festival website, which is vcbf.ca. And then if you you can look there for more information about the Tree Talk and Walk. Thank you for listening to Speak Up today. I'm your host, Magnus Thiewald. We'll be back tomorrow morning with another episode of Speak Up. And I'll be back next Monday with Speak Up and What's Up in Burnaby, and a lot more interesting interviews and content for you. We're just going to go out on a track from the band Hyenas. This is Little Trophy from their album Little Trophy. Thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure being with you today.